Telling the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. As you know, Dr. Martin Luther King stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in the summer of 1963, and he delivered one of the most powerful speeches in our nation's history. It's known for that famous line, "I have a dream." Well, now, half a century later, has that dream become reality? Have we allowed freedom to truly ring throughout this country? Or has that longed-for freedom somehow become even more elusive? There's a brand new documentary that's just been released in theaters. It was released earlier in July, and by the end of July, it will have gone through a number of theaters across the country. It's a brand new documentary entitled Runaway Slave, and it's an intriguing new documentary that opens in theaters, as I mentioned, throughout the country this summer, throughout the summer. The host of that and the creator of that documentary is Reverend C.L. Bryant, and he journeys across America to find answers. He was a one-time NAACP local chapter president, and he tries to discover in this journey that he takes the mindset behind progressives in the black community. And he's asking the question whether or not the black community has traded one form of tyranny for another. We're going to talk with Reverend C.L. Bryant here in just a minute. He's our special guest on the program today. He's an ordained Baptist minister and a fellow with the Freedom Works Foundation in Washington, D.C., besides being the creator and the host of this new documentary. But before we do that, let me go ahead and play for you the clip, a two-minute clip of this brand new documentary. It'll give you a good sense of where we're going today in our Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
I had been led to believe that all black people were supposed to think a certain way.
Have the sons and daughters of former slaves traded one form of slavery for yet another?
Look at the incarceration rates. Look at the dropout rates. We're going in the wrong direction.
Somehow down racial lines, we're still divided. The question has to be why.
The community organizers, religious leaders, political leaders are all complicit in maintaining a system that has kept our community down.
So the color of our skin doesn't really keep us back now.
No,
what does?
I think it's attitude.
The size and scope and reach of government is the new plantation.
Are we too dependent upon government as a community?
The government, honestly, is not for the black community.
The black family, which survived centuries of slavery and generations of Jim Crow, has started coming apart since the welfare state spread from the 1960s.
We need to understand that government is not God.
Today, we are going to concentrate on the good things in America.
We don't want the government enslaving us anymore.
The engaged electorate is moving back to the founding fathers and away from progressivism.
We need to change our mentality as a people.
Progressivism is a massive centralized government where they have the power, but we have very little rights.
Run away from socialism. Run away from progressivism. Run away. Run!
And I won't move slow till I see the light.
We're free, but we have to act like it.
Well, there you have it. That is the trailer, at least one of the trailers. I think there's a number of different versions out there. That's the one that's referred to as Runaway Slave Theatrical Trailer. And as you can hear in that trailer, this sounds like a very, very interesting documentary. It's in theaters now. It's going to be in many more theaters throughout this summer. Here with us right now on the Knowing the Truth radio program is the host of that documentary and the creator of it, and that is Reverend C.L. Bryant. Reverend Bryant, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I am very glad to be here with you.
Reverend Bryant, there's obviously a number of things that are taking place in the news most recently about the black community, things such as there was a recent report coming out that spoke about the fact that black women are some of the most religious in the religious groups in the nation. The unemployment rate among African Americans was just released recently, a 14.4%. Of course, yesterday, Mitt Romney spoke at the National NAACP event, and so that's in the news, the redefinition of marriage by the black Barack Obama and, you know, the Democratic Party. A lot of stuff happening in the news. What are you hoping to do with this documentary in order to address a lot of those types of issues that we see in the news today?
Well, this documentary, Pastor Bowling, will in fact change the conversation in America as far as race is concerned, at least open new dialogue as far as it is concerned. The statistics that you have just cited are diametrically opposed and opposite of the way most black people vote. Black folks do not vote their religious or religious convictions. Many of them simply vote on emotional convictions. What I hope to do as we move across the country is encourage all of black folks, including white folks. This is a movie for everyone. But I want to take away the color of this president, especially in the eyes of black people, and then ask the question, if you're not seeing a black man, then what is the reason for voting for him? That is the question that has to be asked.
How has that been received so far? How are you you viewed for putting together a documentary like this in the black community?
Everyone is in this film, from Dr. Thomas Sowell to Al Sharpton. And you're able to see the different reactions between the two of them, of course. And it's the type of film that will make you laugh, it'll make you cry, but above all, it'll make you think. It's not just a talking head documentary. The reception that I have gotten in the black community has been mixed. However, it has been mostly positive. Most have gone in very skeptical about what we're going to be talking about, thinking that it's going to be an Obama bashing, and have come out understanding that what we're wanting to do is simply turn the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has been very positive.
Yeah, the other well-known statement, of course, by Dr. Martin Luther King was that we were to be judging people on the content of their character and not the color of their skin. It seems that I understand about it being an event for rejoicing within the black community about having the first African-American president elected. I think that there were a lot of folks across the country that certainly rejoiced at the promise of that. And yet, especially for conservatives and even more so than that, Christians, the agenda of that the president has espoused is opposed to something that even goes beyond our patriotism. It touches the point of us being Christians and what we think is morally right for this country, right? So that should supersede our other areas that we had rejoiced in. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And what has happened in many cases, not all, but in many cases, the black preacher has been the glue that has held black folks to the Democrat plow and the Democrat plantation. One thing that liberals have done very effectively that conservatives have failed to do, and that is to co-opt. And that's not to say that conservatives should be about co-opting anything, but they have failed to co-opt the black church. Liberal, progressive liberals have been very successful in co-opting black preachers, and also the Democrat Party, in conjunction with them, have thrown a lot of money into the community via the black church. And so also we have something called black liberation theology that is diametrically opposed to any Christian ideology. Black liberation theology, by its very concept, says that because you're black, because you're poor, because you're a homosexual, or because you've had an abortion, then you deserve some type of special treatment for that because you're an oppressed class. That also plays into the mindset of black people to their detriment.
One thing that seems to jump out there is there a tendency to see people collectively in groups rather than seeing people as individuals?
Absolutely. In fact, the film does touch on that very issue, Pastor. We succeed as individuals. We do not succeed as groups. However, there is still a group think in the year 2012 among black folks. But what has happened since the 50s and the 60s, where it was almost necessary for the group of people to think collectively because we didn't know the terrain, we didn't know where we were going. But now that the population of black people in this country have become so diverse, and the interest of black people have become so diverse, it is necessary for us to become just like every other ethnic group. For instance, I am a Republican conservative, now, and I'm black. But Nancy Pelosi, Rick Santorum, both Italians, one's Republican, one's Democrat, they don't vilify each other as a bad Italian or an evil Italian for being a Republican or a Democrat. But black people, for some reason, when you happen to have a different political view, not Democrat, not a part of the group, they hate you. You become evil. And that is something that has to change if we are to realize the American dream.
Well, part of this, and from watching your documentary, very well done. I highly recommend it. In fact, I'm trying to work together with some of the folks behind the scenes about seeing if we can't bring that here to the Greenville, South Carolina, and the upstate of South Carolina in one of the theaters, working with your PR folks behind the scenes. But anyways, very well done. One of the problems has been with some of the black leaders, like Jesse Jackson. We're in the hometown of Jesse Jackson. Al Sharpton and folks like this, they seem to have taken the historical reality of the black community, which many people have, you know, they have disavowed, and they don't obviously don't endorse the what took place historically. But these folks seem to have now used it in such a way that they're actually continuing to keep the black community down by using their own history against them. Is that a fair way to state it?
Yes, it is, and it is by design. You see, back in the days of slavery, the overseers would oversee the slaves as they picked cotton. Today, the overseer's job has changed, and even though I respect Reverend Jackson's home place or the place of his birth, but he's in the film, and he's in the movie. I interview him in the movie, and the one thing that he says is that people vote their interest. Well, black folks, by means of looking at the NAACP rally yesterday where Mitt Romney spoke and told them what was necessary to happen for us to come out of the spiral that they're in, was to abolish Obamacare. And you get a round of boos there where he was getting applause. When it came to something that really will work detrimentally against black folks, when you come to a sacred cow of the progressive liberals, trumpeted by people like Reverend Jackson and trumpeted by people like Al Sharpton, you can see that there is a thorough brainwashing that has gone on.
Yes, I could see that. I listened to some of the sound bites from the event the other day. The phrase that keeps coming to my mind when I see these things concerning the president with Barack Obama is I keep thinking both ways Obama. I keep thinking that in one way he enjoys the support and the admiration of the black community, while at the same time really doing things that are bringing about the detriment of the black community. What I mean by that is, first of all, the abortion rate among the black community is highly disproportionate to what it is in the rest of the population of this country. I believe it's 40%, even though the black community makes up, 11% of the population. And then, not just with abortion, but with his most recent rulings concerning the breakdown, the redefinition of marriage, which is vitally important to rebuilding the black community, rebuilding the family unit. Now that he has redefined that and gone along with the gay agenda in supporting gay marriage, that's another detrimental aspect in the black community. And then finally, from an economic standpoint, the unemployment rate among African Americans is much higher. It's 14.4% in the African American community compared with the rest of the population, somewhere around 8%. All of those things are detrimental to the African American community, and yet he still tries to say that he is for them. Do you agree with this discrepancy that I just described?
Pastor, that's exactly why I would say if you take away Barack Obama's skin color and ask black people then, why would you vote for him? There would not be a reason to vote for him other than the fact that he's black, which is the stupidest reason in the world to vote for anyone based on their skin color, because a black man, as the homicide rates among young black men all over the country indicate, black can kill you just as quick as anything else. And this president's policies will destroy further, will further denigrate the black community. The policies of the progressive left will further denigrate the black community. But somehow, and it is beyond me to really truly explain it, however this film does a very good job of doing it, Runaway Slave does that, but it is beyond me to truly understand how it is that they cannot see evil in what's happening to this community.
Well, I think through your film, Runaway Slave, as well as a couple of other positive events that are taking place that we're going to talk about here in just a few moments, I think that some people are really starting to take a second look and just say, wait a second, is there something that supersedes our admiration for just the historical event of having the first black president? Should we now really look at the character and the agenda that's being pushed and just ask ourselves, wait a second, there's something more important here than that historical event? We're going to talk some more about that in just a minute. Let's run to the phone line very quickly. We have Robert, I think, from right here in Greenville on the line. Robert, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hey, a very interesting topic, and I hope the movie turns out to be very successful. It's well needed, much needed. Yesterday when I was listening to the reporting about the Romney speech to the NAACP and such, as I was sitting at my desk at work, it kind of just hit me that, in a way, while you were comparing the black leadership and the liberals and the progressives to the overseers at the plantation, which is a good analogy, it also struck me as, in a way, the current black leadership and the way they seem to treat their people, if you will, it kind of reminded me of the historical fact that a lot of Africans, when they were captured and sent to the United States or America back in the 1600s, 1700s, it was done, African catching an African, and they were selling each other out, in a way. And the black leadership seems to be, to me, that seems to be a good analogy. Would you see it in that light as well?
Well, that's an interesting point, Robert. I'm going to let you listen to our guest's response offline because you'll be able to hear it better. Reverend Bryant, I don't know if you could hear the question completely.
Yes.
Okay, if you could, then I'll let you respond.
Hear it, very well. Very good question. And it does beg to have historical clarity. What has happened, especially in this country, is that most black Christians will identify and even embrace Muslim ideology quicker than they will defend true Christian ideology, when the truth is it was the Arabs who used captured black slaves or black, well, they had enslaved black people on the Ivory Coast to go in and capture other black people on the Ivory Coast. It was the Arabs who captured Africans then and sold them to the Dutch, who were on their way to America. The white folks really didn't do the capturing. It was the Arab slave traders. In fact, the same slave traders who have slavery going on in Africa today are Muslims. And so it takes us to a whole different subject, but the Islamic threat has always been real, and it has always led to slavery. And black folks, for some reason, have always bought into it.
Good point there. Thank you for that call. Excuse me. Robert, thank you very much for that call today. We really appreciate it. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Reverend C.L. Bryant. He's the Baptist minister, an ordained Baptist minister. He's also the former NAACP chapter president, I think, in Tennessee. He's a fellow at the Freedom Works Foundation in Washington, D.C., and now he is the creator and host of a brand-new documentary entitled Runaway Slave. By the way, you can go out to that website to find out more about Runaway Slave. They have information out there about who's in the film. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a few moments, but it'll tell you who's there and who gets interviewed during this documentary. It also has a way out there for you to put in your state or your area that you live in and see if that film is coming to your area. Right now I saw that the closest it was currently listed as being to the upstate of South Carolina was in Charlotte. It's going to be at a theater in Charlotte. But the URL for that movie is called www.runawayslavemovie. That's all one word, runawayslavemovie.com. And so if you go out there, you can find out all the information that I was just referring to. We just had a caller here a moment ago. Robert called in with a very good question. I want to make sure that you know that you can call in and ask a question or give a comment for our special guest today. The number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. That's 1-888-660-9535. I also have email up and running, so if you'd rather just shoot me an email, you can do that. And the email address is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. That's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Well, Reverend Bryant, I wanted to get some more of your comment, just a brief comment before we go to a commercial break. But since it is the most recent item in the news, tell me, what did you think about the fact that Mitt Romney went there to speak at the NAACP? Do you give him credit for going there and not pandering when he was there?
Mitt Romney was a man of great courage on yesterday because he did not go in kowtowing or offering any type of olive branch to anyone, except for the fact that he was there to tell them, and I really did like this line, that if you're looking for someone who will ease the pain or stop the suffering or help black folks in the black community, you're looking at him. Take a look. Mm-hmm. And the idea, again, has to come about who is, in fact, capable of doing the job. And the one thing that you must say about Mitt Romney, regardless of whatever else you think about him, is that he is capable.
And I do believe that he is also coherent, and he will bring forth a coherent policy to the White House. I think we will have an adult in the White House again. It has nothing to do with the president's color. I just would, if I were to think of someone that I would want to invest my money, if I were to hand it to somebody today, right now, if I had to choose between a colorless Barack Obama and a colorless Mitt Romney, I'd give it to Mitt.
Well, that's well said, an interesting comment. We're going to take a very quick commercial break. When we come back from that break, I want to work through a couple of the major issues of opposition, especially as conservatives and even more so as Christian conservatives. I want to start by playing for you my conversation, just a brief portion of it, with Barack Obama. He was on the program with me, and I asked him about abortion, and I want you to respond to what the president said to me about his position on abortion. We'll play that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knowing the Truth. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
The next Mike Huckabee Show, we'll be chatting with Patrick Brennan. We'll find out, is there really an income inequality? And if so, how does it affect you? And if not, why are we talking about it so much? Senator Rand Paul's going to join us. We'll talk about the Obamacare repeal and much more. And Jack Abramoff. He was once the highest-powered lobbyist in Washington. Now he's got some things to say about corruption. All that and more on the next Mike Huckabee Show.
Today at noon on Christian Talk 660.
After I came home from the war, I lost everything. My job, my family, but this place, this is where I started to put my life back together.
A few weeks ago, my husband of 47 years had a stroke. I'm staying here in this room while he recovers. Without this place, I don't know what I'd do.
At Volunteers of America, we envision a world where everyone has a place to call home.
12 years my family lived in that house, then it was gone, washed away in a flood. We were on the street. The day we came here, that's when I knew we could make it.
But it's not just about having a place to call home. It's about improving lives. Through our programs and support, our promise and hope, we work so that no one will be left behind. After all, who are we as a society if we don't help those who need it the most? To help strengthen your community, visit volunteersofamerica.org.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I did mention that you are certainly welcome and encouraged to participate in the program today. We're talking about a brand new documentary called Runaway Slave. The website for that is www.runawayslavemovie.com. I played the opening clip at the beginning of the broadcast today, a little section, a two-minute section, talking about what this movie is all about. But it basically is using leading black conservatives as conductors. Reverend Bryant believes it is time for a new underground railroad to help liberate all Americans from the government plantation that has left the black community dealing with a new form of slavery, a new form that could be entitled entitlements. The entitlements that are entrapping them in this lifestyle And so he's speaking out against it. Again, my guest today is Reverend C.L. Bryant. He's an ordained Baptist minister and fellow with the Freedom Works Foundation in Washington, D.C. He's also the creator and the host of this brand new documentary. Just before the break, I mentioned that I had an opportunity to talk with Barack Obama when he was Senator Barack Obama just before the election. He was here in Greenville campaigning, and I had a chance to ask him specifically about his stance on abortion. Now, I did this because it was near the time of the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Now, the president used that anniversary to send out a letter to his supporters telling them that he had 100% voting record with the National Organization for Women, with Planned Parenthood, and with NARAL. And so I questioned him about this. I said, how can you say that you are not pro-abortion when you are touting in this letter to your supporters that you received a 100% voting record? I say that this is completely inconsistent with being with evangelicals. How do you explain this? Here's his response. Senator, with putting that out on that particular day, which I say is so important to evangelical Christians, I think you know, obviously, that that view is 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And it just seems inconsistent with the message of your campaign, which is saying, I'm for change, I'm for hope, and these types of things. How would you answer that, sir?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I am a devout Christian, and I am respectful of people's different views on this issue. And I have to say, I don't know anybody who is pro-abortion. I certainly am not. And I think it's important to start with that premise. I think people recognize what a wrenching, difficult moral issue it is. And I do think that those who diminish the moral elements of that decision aren't expressing the full reality of it. And I've said that to people who may believe in the right for women to make that decision. So the main difference that I have with some of my, you know, brothers and sisters in the evangelical movement or who are opposed to abortion is the question of who makes this decision. I don't think women make these decisions casually. I think they pray on them. I think they struggle with it fervently with their pastors, with their spouses, with their doctors. And so my goal is to make abortions less common. We should discourage unwanted pregnancies. We should encourage adoption wherever possible. We should teach our children, and especially teenagers, that you know, the relationship between the man and woman is sacred, and is, you know, that casual sexual activity is not what what is healthy or is not going to lead to happiness and fulfillment.
Okay, well, there you can hear a little bit of the president's response. CL, I hope you could hear that. A couple of things that I want you to respond about. In the very beginning, he says he's a devout Christian. He speaks about his brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't question anybody's profession of faith just based upon the profession. I take him at his word. However, I do question it like the book of James does and like the book of the epistles of John when the actions afterwards don't line up with the clear teachings of the Bible. Secondly, Secondly, he says that one abortion is one too many, and then he says, my goal is to make abortion less common. Has the president achieved that goal?
In the year, the last year, and I think it was 2011, 2010, there were more black babies in the state of New York murdered in their mother's womb than were born. No, he has not. He is a black liberation theologist. He attended that type of church for the last 22, 23 years now. I don't think he attends there yet, but he attended for 20 years. The idea of him being a Christian, okay, I'm with you as far as not judging anyone who claims to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. However, we then have to take into account the practice of murder, murdering an unborn child.
That's right.
Now, someone will say, well, a woman has the right to do with her body as she wants to. Now, Pastor, I have three daughters, and I fully agree with that statement. However, I have nine grandchildren, and not one of those grandchildren is a part of their mother's body. I'm not a part of my mother's body. She's resting in her grave. She's with the Lord. Her body is resting in its grave, and she is with the Lord. But I am here talking to you. The argument that the woman has a right to choose what to do with her body falls totally apart when we look at the individuals that have been birthed into this world, who are walking around here, talking, speaking their own mind, using their own limbs, and doing their own things in their own lives. I am not my mother's kidney. I am not her arm. I am not her leg. I have no part of her on me except the traces of DNA that she gave to me. Mm-hmm. That is a lie. We are not. It is not an assault on a woman's right to choose. You don't have a right to choose to kill me the same way I don't have a right to walk up and kill you.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were saying that the with the homosexual issue here, the president says that it's a civil rights issue, of which a number of black pastors are standing up and saying, no way, this does not equate to what we did so in the civil rights movement. But here he seems to completely disregard the right of the woman in the womb. What about her rights? What about the black woman in the womb? What about her rights? Those rights seem to get completely trampled over. So I'm for the rights. I think he limits rights. He's saying that we do if we impose abortion laws upon women. But I think he actually limits rights, and he's limiting rights by not extending rights to the woman that's in the womb. I want those rights for all women, including that little woman in the womb. So what do you think about that subject, where the gay activists are now trying to liken what they're doing in the gay rights movement to what is taking place or what took place in the civil rights movement?
Pastor, I speak about this around the country to various groups that bring me in. Tomorrow morning, if the newspapers read, we are going to exterminate blacks and women, then there'd be no place for me to hide, nor my wife, because even if she cut her hair and tried to look like a man, they do a chromosome test or whatever test they do, and they find out she's a woman. There's nowhere for us to hide. However, if the newspapers read tomorrow that they're going to exterminate gay people, I can assure you that the closets would be full again, because only thing they would have to do to keep their jobs, avoid extermination, or avoid any type of persecution is to pretend that they are something other than what they are. Now, you may say, or someone may say, well, why should anyone have to pretend? Well, black folks and women in this civil rights question don't even have the option to pretend in being anything else in order to save themselves.
Mm.
Whereas the civil right of someone boils down to what can you possibly change in order to be accepted. When they are against you because of your color or because of your gender, there is nothing you can do. But when they are against you because of your behavior and the what you call preference, your sexual preference, that is not a civil right.
Mm, that's right. Well said. I want to play another clip for you. This is a clip from the group of pastors who are standing up against the president because of his support for gay marriage. They have a petition. You're probably aware of this, I guess, but a 100,000 signatures for marriage petition, where a group of black pastors has come out and said, we will not support Barack Obama while he holds to this position. Let me play. This was on Fox 17. I think it's out of Nashville. And Fox 17 covered this story. Let me play this little clip and then get your comment.
Typical behavior will destroy even more folks in our already decaying and broken society.
President Obama is facing sharp criticism tonight from a group that was among his biggest supporters.
That's right. A coalition of African-American pastors is upset tonight with the president's support for gay marriage. This group of pastors held a news conference today at Opryland in Donelson to voice their disapproval with the president's position. Several of these pastors say they believe the president is leading the country down a very dangerous path.
His pronouncement is, in fact, a direct attack on the God of the Bible and the Christian faith.
We were once proud of you, but our pride has turned to shame that you, the man holding the most powerful position in the world, would stoop to leading a country down an immoral path.
This group of pastors is now calling on their counterparts, black pastors across the country, to withhold their support from President Obama in the election come November.
Well, let me ask you, Reverend Bryant, are you aware of this effort going forward? And just get your comment on the work that they're doing.
Absolutely. I help lead and meet a group of pastors down in Montgomery, Alabama, months ago when this first came out. And I do applaud these pastors all across the country who are, in fact, carrying that particular message. I believe the president will find this election, and I hope it's true, that instead of going to the polls to vote for him because of their religious convictions, many black people will stay home. And they won't. I don't see them voting for Mitt Romney or the Republican ticket, but I do see them saying, "I just won't vote for him again." Mm. So I do applaud that.
All day yesterday, of course, when Mitt Romney spoke at the NAACP event, they always very often preference the comments by saying that 90 to 95% of the African American community support President Obama. Has that seriously been diminished seriously because of this type of stance? Because of the unemployment rate being at 14.4% and just their disappointment with what has happened over the last 3.5 years?
If they would take a look at the statistics that you have so very well brought to us today and eliminate the color of the president from the equation, if Bill Clinton had produced and black people supported Bill. In fact, Bill by proxy is the first black president, as you well know. He was touted as. but if his numbers on unemployment, if his statements on abortion, if his stance on gay rights had been the same as this president, Bill Clinton would have lost in mass the support of the black community. So, what is left? It is the skin color. Mm. Take away the skin color of this man, and any black person listening to this radio program, any white person listening to this radio program who may have voted for him, take away the skin color of this man, and then tell anyone why you would vote for him. Mm. Why? It would not make sense.
In your documentary, you articulate very well with one of your guests. I think it was a fellow from the Rock Hill area. And he talks about how that at one time, the black community was very much Republican in their views. And that changed as a result of certain policies that were implemented by the government, which may have had some value initially. But now those very same policies are being used to keep the black family apart to keep the primarily the black male out of the black home as being the leader of the home, and are actually now detrimental to the black family. Speak about that particular issue, about how these policies are actually destroying the efforts to rebuild the black family.
The worst thing that has happened to the black community, and they were a test project, because it is now the design to make it happen to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst thing that happened to the black community back in the 60s was the signing of Lyndon Johnson's, or the bringing about of Lyndon Johnson's so-called Great Society. In that Great Society, what happened was someone declared that God is dead and he has been replaced with 50,000 social workers. And the idea of those social workers were to replace the daddy in that home. Before 1965 in this country, the marriage rate among black folks in many times was slightly higher than white America. Even during slavery itself, Dr. Thomas Sowell points out to us in our film, in the Runaway Slave movie, that even during slavery itself, most black children were raised in a two-parent household. And so the Republican Party, throughout history, if American history, if we were to be honest about political history and the black community, the Republican Party has always been the party of civil rights. Dwight Eisenhower was the person who introduced, in 1957, the Civil Rights Bill, and it was shot down by Lyndon Johnson and John F. Kennedy.
Hmm.
And it was resurrected 10 years later by LBJ out of necessity. And the Democrats in the South were not the ones who passed the bill. Even though LBJ was a Democrat president, it was due to a Republican senator in Illinois, Edward Dirksen, who cast the vote to pass the 1965 Civil Rights Bill that Eisenhower, 10 years earlier, had presented, but was killed by Democrats. Black folks, if they actually would understand that there is a progressive, liberal, Democrat design on deceiving them, and this president has been the greatest deception that has come along for black people in years, that they would, if they would simply wake up to what's going on, we would see a great change in the black community.
So the policies actually make it economically advantageous for there not to be a black man in the home as the leader of that family. Is that correct?
We will be daddy for you. We will give you, keep your lights on. We'll put a roof over your head. But the one thing you can't have is a man in the house. And that is the way it has the trend that has been trending in the black community. And you can, I have a topic, I speak about this, but even this has led to the rap movement and hip-hop movement and the denigration of black women in those lyrics. And you can rest assured, and I say this in all sincerity, they have been successful in capturing the hearts and minds of young black people in this country, but the game will be over when they completely co-opt and capture the hearts and minds of young whites. Game over. They will have captured that entire generation. And once they do that, then you and I, who are growing older, our sun will begin to set here in a few years. Their sun will begin to rise, white and black kids, and they will be rising on a progressive, liberal America. Over 50% of children between the ages of 8 and 17, for the first time in American history, have not been in a church except for a funeral.
What does that say? Here we are describing the demise of the black community through political policy that's being put forward. And even beyond that, as you mentioned, this was just a test case per se. It's just a small sample of what will take place in all communities, regardless of color, if the government currently has its way, if all of these policies go through. What does that say, then, when a person or a group of people, the Democratic Party, the progressives, the liberals, when they are willing to bring about this level of demise to the American nation, to the people of America, all for political expediency? Is this the worst type of most egregious type of attack that we could possibly have upon our country?
Absolutely. Let me be a Baptist minister here for just a moment. America is still the greatest light in all of the world because of our Christian principles, precepts, and beliefs. But if you destroy and take away God, if you take away Christians, if you mute the church, if the church becomes muted in this country, then that light begins to grow dim, and we become just like all the other. Look at Europe. The great cathedrals, so many of them over in Europe, have become museums and shopping places over there. And here in America, that is the design on Christianity. Notice the attack that you and I are under for hate speech, for simply preaching the gospel and saying what's an abomination according to God. Quite frankly, Pastor, what a person does in their own home and in their own time, I really don't care. But I am called to preach the gospel. I am called to preach the Bible from cover to the maps. And what I preach there is my conviction according to the Word of God. Should I be hated for that? Should I be hated for speaking my opinion? Of course not. But we are. And why is that? It is because we are speaking out against the very same things that have destroyed other societies in world history. And it will topple America if we don't continue to stand.
Yes, this is a spiritual battle that we're in. And I think we recognize that as believers across the country, that this is a cosmic or a spiritual battle that's taking place for the hearts and minds of the American people. And the attack seems to be upon the American family. I think Dr. James Dobson is going to be on the broadcast with me next week. Of course, he has done a tremendous amount of work in the on the American family. But the attack seems to be if the father can be removed from the home and is in his essential role as the leader of the family and guiding that family in what they should do, if he can be taken out of the equation, then the family is sure to crumble and they'll be dependent upon the government. Is that basic the basic message that you're getting across in this film?
Our movie, Runaway Slave, deals with that very, very adeptly. And I have to encourage everyone, to demand that this movie comes to your area. Demand it. And then make certain when it gets there that the theater is packed. This is a film that the Hollywood progressives, the great, the progressive liberals do not want you to see. It is a film that I am telling you, for all Americans, white and black, will help us change the discussion on race in this country. We have been moving backwards steadily, and it is, listen, 20 years ago, we were divided down racial lines over O.J. Simpson and the murder that occurred there. We are 20 years later. And a fellow, and if you could really see Trayvon Martin at 17 instead of that little baby picture that they put on television, if you could actually see the guy who was killed here. But 20 years later, we are, in fact, still just as divided.
Yes, I think even more. I think even more so, the case could be made. And you pointing out, I mentioned that same thing about the Trayvon Martin case. They keep showing the baby pictures almost, you know, and obviously something is trying to be, we're being persuaded by them trying to do that with those pictures. Reverend Bryant, unfortunately, our time is gone. Thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you for putting together this film. I'm going to give people the website again. Come to Greenville. I'd love to have you right here in the studio.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, that was Reverend C.L. Bryant. He's the host of the what's called RunawaySlaveMovie.com. Remember this, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and now also on FM 92.9.